And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10. Godly wisdom taught by Jesus through two parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave that 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found the lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. I know it's rainy and dull, but you guys have had lovely weather, actually. I got you on Friday, and it's my second visit to Jersey, and I've just so appreciated the friends already I've made on the island, and it's always a pleasure to be here at Jersey Baptist. Gary didn't fully introduce himself. I'd like to just mention that he's now coming on full-time with Africa for Christ from January. He's going to help me. We are now approximately 80 church planters across Africa. We've got about 40 church planters in South Africa itself, and then we've got 40 in four other countries. So it's quite a vast ministry, and we're really hoping to grow that. And so I'm excited to have Gary join me and add a lot of administrative as well as pastoral gifting to the leadership team. We have a wonderful leadership team of coordinators that help me with the church planters. I have one coordinator over each 10, a group of 10 church planters, and it's a wonderful team that we work with on a regular basis. I wanted to also echo Gary's thanks to Jersey Baptist, and from myself as the director, just say thank you again for the financial and prayer support that you guys have been giving us over the years, and certainly this last year. We're excited to see that even in your midst, there's growth, there's new things happening, and I haven't met Nick yet, but I'm excited about him starting here and adding to the ministry that Drew is doing with you guys. Luke 15. One of my favorite, not passages, but in fact chapters, is Luke chapter 15. Now, if you've been a parent, and I've got three children, it usually takes about three times you have to say the same thing before they get it. And I'd like to cast your attention to Luke 15, where Jesus, and he often does this, but in this whole chapter, he decides with three big punches to hit us with the same idea, but three times. And he comes at it from three different stories. Now, we've only read two, because the third story is a marathon. And it would take us too long to read it this morning, and you all know it very well. It's the story of the prodigal son, right? So you have Jesus starting with the first parable of the lost sheep. Then you have this lost coin by the woman. And then the third story, almost like a crescendo story. Just in case you haven't got the point, guys, he then hits us with the parable of the prodigal son. And let me just get through my slides while we're talking here. So he gives us this wonderful triple blow on the central, what I believe is one of the central themes, and that what I want us to talk about this morning. The central passion, the emphasis of the kingdom of God, and we forget this, is seeking and saving the lost. And as a missionary, I've been a missionary now for 25 years, as the director of Africa for Christ, this is the passion that drives us. The passion that underlines everything we do is we want to go out, seek, and we want to see the lost saved. So that we're in tandem with our wonderful God who has blessed us so much and whom we seek to serve in our lives. I wanted to just go through some of these parables and look at some of God's priorities that come through as we look at these parables. And one of the things that a picture God gave me, some of you will know this, but in 1995, we had the World Cup rugby in South Africa. And there came a moment where the Springbok team had made the finals, and we were playing against the All Blacks. And I was in my little town about 1,000 kilometers away from where the game was being played. And the final was played, and Nelson Mandela was there, dressed in his Springbok outfit. There's been a movie made of this moment that I'm telling you about. And so the final whistle went, and South Africa had won the game. And I want to tell you, when that whistle went, the whole country erupted. In my town, there was not one car whose hooter was not blasting on a constant moment. People were dancing in the streets. It was pandemonium. I've never experienced anything like it before or since. There was this incredible celebration. Now the question to you is, and I wish I had asked you this before we read the passage, you see, is when does heaven have moments like that? When is it that heaven is just in absolute eruption? I know when it is. It's on a Sunday morning at about 10 a.m., right? Sunday, 10 a.m., right? Because that's when all over the world, God's people are gathering to worship Him. Right? So heaven is just having a real celebration at that moment. Am I right? Am I right? Wow. Ron, I think you need to read the passage again. You couldn't be more wrong. You could not be more wrong than assuming that. These parables, Jesus says, heaven is in ecstatic celebration when one sinner comes to Christ and repents. It's not on a Sunday morning when we're all happy and worshiping God. Yes, He loves that. But the crux of the celebration happens when a sinner comes to Him. So, my next question is, what was the older brother's problem? Now, we didn't read this parable, right? And we have these three beautiful parables about something which is lost, it is found, there's great celebration, right? All three parables. And I don't know about you, but it was always such a terrible ending when the prodigal son story, which is so lovely, suddenly ends with this yucky ending, right? Like, why did Jesus end it with that? This older brother who's all grumpy and comes and complains, and that's how it ends. And you think, wow, wait a minute, Jesus, you know, I got what you were saying before, but what is this next thing you're trying to say? And I think this is the point I want to really push through to you this morning. If you can imagine that you're at a Christmas party and you're a father and a mother and you have two children, but one of them is in complete broken relationship with you, they have not come, and it's a terrible situation. But one of them has come, and you just have this great relationship with the one, right? Now you're sitting at the Christmas table. Do you all feel extremely happy? As a mom and dad, do you feel wonderful? Are you happy? No, you're not. Because somebody is missing. Somebody is missing. And so what the older brother doesn't get is it doesn't matter how much you're praying, how much you're worshiping Jesus, how much you are wonderfully walking with Him, how much you have this great relationship. You come into church 5 times a week. The problem is, God is still looking out and longing and heartbroken about your friend, your neighbor, or your family member that doesn't know Him yet. He loves the fact that you're with Him, but he's still heartbrokenly looking out the window, waiting for the person to come back to him. And so there's this strange tension in the kingdom where God is both happy that we're here, but even as we sit here, he's both in here, but he's standing at the door. Right there outside, he's standing and longing that others would come in. Can you feel that tension? Can you feel what God is trying to say to us? The amazing way that this story starts, I want us to quickly jump right back to the very first verse in before we read these parables. Did Jesus hang out? Did he hang out much with the lost? I'm using a bit of slang here, right? Hang out. Did he hang with the lost? Yes or no? Right? Was this the parable starts just before the parable? We read Jesus is sitting with the tax collectors and the sinners, and all the godly, well-studied biblical scholars are sitting around saying, "Why is he doing that?" That's how this starts. Right? That's where he is in the beginning. And right through the Gospels, we see him on a regular basis with the kind of people you and I wouldn't go near. Prostitutes, the people that swindle, the people, the tax collectors that would always bribe, the bad guys. That's who he's with. Now, when he's with them, he's not actually with them, right? He's walking up to them in the street and he's giving them a pamphlet, right? Or he's going with some kind of evangelism tool and explaining the gospel to them, right? Is that how Jesus is with the lost? Or he's waiting outside the pub as people come out, and he's got his table with these Christian books that he set up outside the pub, and as they come along, he's then hoping some of them might stop. Right? That's not what he's doing, guys. He's doing the most uncultural, the most radical, the most unacceptable thing possible. He's eating with sinners. And this thing of eating, I want us to just, you know, hang on to that a bit, because my next point is, how do we seek and save the lost? And in South African culture, it's very similar to UK culture. You know, I'll have tea with you over there. I'll meet with you for a coffee there. But having a meal, you mean in my house? You mean actually in my house we're going to have a meal? Like I've got to have these sinner guys here? Whoa. But that's not our culture. Jeremy, you don't understand. We don't do that. Do you think in Jesus' culture they did that? They were so extreme. You couldn't even go to the temple if you had touched a sinner physically. You were then unclean. You couldn't go to the temple. They were so drastically anti having people and eating with them that Jesus blew the whole culture right upside down. And I'm wanting to this morning just revive again one of the often spoken about gifts in the New Testament, which is hospitality and having people and eating meals with people. The power of a meal. You want to tell somebody about Jesus, you've got a full 15-point presentation prepared. You think that's going to win them to Jesus. Man, a good cooked meal is going to do a better job of winning them to Christ in your own home than that wonderful 15-point sermon you've got prepared. And this is the model, this is the picture Jesus is giving us. There's two words that come stand out strongly. The saved part, we want to go and save the lost. That's one of the big things, and we're quite good at figuring that out. What we're not good at is seeking them. We want them to come to us. We want our terms. We want our conditions. But Jesus is saying, no, I want you out there. I want you to go. I want you to seek. I want you to seek the lost. You know, coming into Africa for Christ, I have embraced what I'm preaching to you. And we have included now in our mission a whole new focus on Muslims. Africa for Christ is now 26 or 27 years old. But up until this point, our main focus has been going to those who we know. So if I'm a Zulu person, I'm working among my Zulu people. If I'm a Sotho person, I'm working among the Sotho people. If I'm in Malawi, I'm working among my own tribe. We've partnered with people who want to minister to their own people. And as I've come in, I've said, guys, we have to add this radical dimension. Where you're leaving 99 and you're going in far into the mountains to search for that one lost sheep. You are seeking out the lost. And so we have now said, we've got some partners in Malawi, and we've been supporting a number of them, and we've said, right, from now on, we will only partner with those who want to go to the Muslim villages. Those who want to go to the lost, where there is no other witness for Christ in those places. We've got a great partnership in Ghana, and just north of Ghana is Burkina Faso, which is totally Islamic. It's totally Muslim. We've got 20 Ghanaian church planter partners. And I've said to Wisdom, the head of that little mission that we partner with, I said, Wisdom, there's Burkina Faso. I said, don't come to me with the next 5 church planters to partner with if they're in Ghana. We will only partner with you going forward with new partners if they're willing to go up. And you know, God has done an amazing thing because he said to me, I've been waiting all along for you to say this to me. I've got four guys who are going on a consistent basis across the border into Burkina Faso and reaching out to the Muslims. But I never mentioned that to you because I didn't think you were vaguely interested in that. So God had already prepared those things. And now we as a mission are adding this, the seeking of the lost into our whole passion and ministry. I have a wonderful story to relate to you. We have our first Zulu guy who left his homeland and has gone to Cape Town with the sole purpose, him and his wife, of reaching the Somali Muslim community. There are 40,000 Somali refugees in Cape Town. They're probably the most extreme Islamic people you'll meet on this planet. And this guy, 2 years ago, together with Africa for Christ and another mission, started his work in Cape Town. And I was with him last month, and they have six Somali believers that are following Jesus. And each one of them has been baptized. A week before I got there, they had baptized the sixth young man. None of them have had the courage yet to share with any of their family that they're following Jesus. They only secretly know among each other that they love Jesus. And that every week they meet in different restaurants, different tea houses, so that nobody knows. Because they will probably lose their life if people find out. But this is the kind of mission that we're on, is to win the hardest, the most lost that we can possibly find. And so we're very excited about what God is going to be doing among the Somalis, both in Cape Town and beyond. In fact, one of the believers, two of the six have now gone back to Somalia, into Mogadishu, which is a crazy place, as you know. And both of them have had to go back for family reasons and are starting to quietly, not say they're Christian, but to start to share with their families, hey, there's more to God than we know. And we're just trusting that these two little tiny candles will actually shine some kind of a light now, right there in Mogadishu, in Somalia, because of the seeds we planted in Cape Town. So how do we challenge you guys? I've got three things that I always talk about. And I talk about going. Seeking involves going. And I've got, you know, three things that I wanted you guys to think about this morning, about on the going front. I really want you this morning to think about who are the friends, who are the neighbors, who are those evil, bad, lost people that you think would never even be willing to think about Jesus. But perhaps it's time to have a meal with them and share Jesus with them. So who are the people God has given you on the island or even in your sphere of influence that you have? I was so encouraged to hear about the Discovering God, and Drew was saying that he's been encouraging you to just go ahead, share, and get folk to come. Share the meal, yeah, which is a great idea, and talk about Jesus. And he's encouraging you guys to get out there. And I'm just reiterating that same thing. But I'm pushing the boundaries and saying not only those you think may want to know him, but go to the bad guys too. That's how what Jesus had this weird way of going to the people in the extremes. Then I know there's many local outreaches across the UK that you guys could think of maybe going to. There's this whole refugee crisis that's happening right across Europe in the UK. the Brexiters are anti all the immigrants, and there are some bad issues about that. The good thing is, they're coming nearer. They're easier for us to reach. They're easier for us to share with. And then, of course, we have outreaches to Turkey, to Lebanon, all kinds of things you could be involved with. And I want to put a personal advert in here to Drew and the church that Africa for Christ, actually for the first time in many years, we are inviting churches to send us short-term teams. We are saying we are now ready as an organization to receive you. We'll receive a team to come to a village, come to an area, and you can come and do some serving the Lord in rural communities, in some semi-urban environments, be part of what God is doing on a larger basis. So that's an invitation I'm putting out there to you. But besides going, I want to encourage you about praying. Please, can you include in your prayers not only for the church? Don't only pray for the church. Don't only pray for your family. Don't only pray for your needs, but build in. Always make sure you're building in, praying for the lost, praying for those around you who don't know Him, fighting that spiritual battle before you're going to share with them, praying for them so that when you do go, their hearts are open. And all of you should have on your personal prayer diary some missionary or some person who's in the furthest, hardest places trying to seek and save the lost, and be praying for them. And then finally, besides the going and the praying, the giving. And Jersey Baptist is very faithful in your giving to missions. You guys have been amazing. But I want to encourage you again, not only as a church, but particularly personally, to get involved in giving to those who are really reaching the lost and going as far as they can. I just want to end by saying that to me it's the most incredible truth about God. And as I look at my own life, was it not that He was a God of seeking the lost? I would be still far astray. For I would not have darkened a church door. Not by any means. I was a young rebel. But God was about seeking and saving the lost. And so I count my own wonderful salvation as based on that passion of His. And so join Him in seeking and saving the lost. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to just thank You so much for Your glorious love, which is not limited to churches and buildings where we gather as Your people. But we see You as a Father still standing with Your arms stretched out, looking out into the neighborhoods that we live in, looking out into our families and friends who don't know Jesus and longing for them to come, looking out to the earth and seeing communities all over the world in darkness and knowing that You have not forgotten them, but You daily look over them, longing, loving, willing, that they should come into Your kingdom and find the beautiful relationship and love that we know in You. And so, Lord, I just pray for Jersey Baptist. I pray for each member, each person here in the church, that You would strengthen them, embolden them, and give them the grace and the courage to reach out and seek and save the lost as they partner with You in this great endeavor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.